Irresistible purports to be a satire of our current political climate, and yet it somehow seems completely unmoored not only from contemporary politics, but from the real world and normal human behavior. What's most surprising about it is that it was written and directed by the once incendiary and vital pundit Jon Stewart, who hasn't been a regular TV presence since 2015, which may explain why his satirical muscles have apparently atrophied. The movie stars Steve Carell as a Democratic strategist and Clinton family confidant named Gary Zimmer, who, as the film opens, is licking his wounds from the 2016 election. He sees his possible redemption in a popular YouTube clip that shows a farmer in rural Wisconsin defending the rights of his immigrant neighbors, and Zimmer thinks he can transform that virality into political success. So he hops on a private jet and heads to the Midwest, to a speck on the map known as Deerlockin. What he finds there is like the Twilight Zone as directed by Frank Capra, a small town so hospitable that it's almost creepy. When he orders a burger and a bud at the local watering hole without even seeing a menu, the employees bring them over from the restaurant across the street. Zimmer eventually finds his way to that farmer, a widower and former Marine named Jack Hastings, played by Chris Cooper. He tells Jack that he's the ideal candidate to run against the incumbent Republican mayor, despite the town's electorate having voted red for decades. "You're a Democrat," Zimmer tells him, "you just don't know it yet." Jack decides to go ahead with Zimmer's wild idea, despite some words of hesitation from his daughter, played by Mackenzie Davis. And once a campaign office and super PACs are in place, news networks are knocking on Jack's doors, and Zimmer's right-wing counterpart, played by Rose Byrne, shows up to throw her weight behind the sitting mayor. Now, I'm willing to grant the film its premise, that a measly mayoral election could inspire a national media frenzy. Consider how politicians like Beto O'Rourke or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez became household names beyond their home states. But what I can't believe is that Stewart thought that his jokes contrasting metropolitan elites and small-town yokels, people from big cities like organic food, while people from small towns like burgers and beer, and references to Joe the Plumber, were anything but stale, or that they would somehow give his film any kind of contemporary edge. He never settles on a tone, either. There are broad, borderline slapstick gags, which seem totally at odds with its scenes of stern moralizing, and he often lets Carell mug in ways that feel less like character choices and more like, well, an actor mugging in front of a camera. And then there's the business of a bizarre third-act plot development, which sort of explains away some of the movie's weirdest story beats, but ends up feeling like a narrative cop-out. I came of age when Jon Stewart was the sharpest voice in political comedy, when he took to The Daily Show five nights a week and railed against hypocrisy on both sides of the ideological aisle. But with Irresistible, he now seems as out of touch as the limousine liberals and power-hungry elitists that he's lampooning. There are times when he appears to be aiming for the caustic, all-sides-are-bad nihilism of Alexander Payne, and times when he's blatantly quoting the bombastic screeds of Sidney Lumet's all-time great media satire Network. But he's too glib for the former, and he's too didactic to nail the latter. Just last year, Stewart testified in front of the Senate, chiding them for sitting on a deadlocked bill that would make it easier for 9/11 responders to receive medical aid. The speech, like Cooper's in this film, went viral, and it reminded us what an electric speaker Stewart can be, how cogently he can distill a political point into an impassioned monologue that carries you along and punches you in the gut. That Jon Stewart is nowhere to be found in Irresistible, which might have stung way back during the George W. Bush administration, but feels sluggish and out of step in 2020. At a time when the world is mad as hell and doesn't want to take it anymore, Stewart's film seems too oblivious and too frivolous, practically archaic in its desperation to inform us that corporate money corrupts honest politicians. Imagine not knowing that already. For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Nathan Weinbender.